2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
MLB Daily Dispatch coming at you from those great folks over at DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us yet, well, now is a great time to do so. You use the promo code WIN, W-I-N. You can try us out for a 7-day free trial period. With that, you get 24 access to our Slack chat channel where all of us are in there chatting each day. You get access to the Domination Station, which you could use for golf, NASCAR, and all sorts. And, of course, the end of the NBA season. And, also with the MLB season, you get to use a lot of our tools, the VIP lineups page. My articles are always wonderful, of course. And, of course, you get the Chopadong's daily startup thing that he's got going on there as well. Once again, DFSArmy.com. Use that promo code WIN to get a free 7-day trial to see what we're all about. I am your host, Al Walsh, 14A.Walsh on the Twitter is where you find me. Find Keith Hall, who's joining me as always. You can find him at Boomer's DFS Daddy. So, I mentioned it briefly before we hit the record button on the shindig, but today we embark on a 4-game series between both of our favorite teams in baseball, and let the best man win.
Yeah, especially since the Rockies have one of the better records on the road in baseball, which is something that you never, ever, ever would have considered going into the start of the season. So I'm pretty stoked about it. It's going to be a good test. Always when we go to these other hitters' environments that are around Major League Baseball, it's one of those interesting things to see if the offense can translate, and it's translated so far so well.
We're gonna see if the curtain matches the drapes.
Oh, the curtain definitely matches the drapes, there, brother. it definitely does. I like the fact, you know, we are, you guys have the, second best team in baseball and the best team in the National League coming into the Philly faithful today.
Citizens Bank Park, let's get it right. I'll talk about it a couple times today, but yeah, this should be a good test for us. We actually had a nice extended, I believe it was a 10-game road trip there that we were just on.
Which is what we're currently on.
So it'll be nice for us to get back home. A lot of these Philly guys, I was looking at the numbers. They have some, obviously some better numbers being at home, just as a lot of different players do around the league. So we will get into that and more. I've got a question once we get to pitchers, which we'll get here in a little bit. You know, we gotta find out who Jeff Hoffman is. So we'll begin with the pitchers, and you know, we'll get to your boy in a little bit. But who are you looking at as your top dog of the night?
That would be the million-dollar question, would it not be?
Indeed.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I'm kind of a little bit torn on this one.
As am I.
It's a tier one, tier two type thing. Tier one is Zach Greinke and Michael Pineda for me.
All right, we're in agreement.
I think you might in GPPs be able to throw Michael Fulmer in that tier one, but he leads off my tier two. Okay. I would have to say those are the top two for me. Now the problem that we have with Zach Greinke tonight is the fact that, when you look at, if you're comparing just the offenses that they're going against, okay, just the two, the White Sox and the Royals. Well, the White Sox are horrible versus right-handed pitching. 297 wOBA on the season, 150 ISO, and they strike out 22.4% of the time. Okay? Mm-hmm. Here's the issue. The Royals are even worse in every aspect except for the strikeout percentage. But it's less than 1% of it's less than a 1% difference. They only strike out 21.5% of the time. Now, usually, anytime we can get above that 22, it's a pretty good one. But when you've got the Rays that strike out 26.6% of the time and the Yankees that strike out 23.5% of the time, you've got other options. I don't know where I really want to go. We talked about the weather a little bit before we got on the show. The roof's probably going to be closed there in Arizona. It doesn't mean that the wind carry or the ball carries any more or any better. I really want to know when they're going to install this humidor in Arizona, because if it's getting installed or already been installed, then I have a little bit more interest in Greinke than Pineda. But right now, I'm finding it very difficult to get off of Pineda just because of the fact that I can get more bats in my lineup.
Yeah, and it's tough to, really decide who that main guy is going to be, especially, the White Sox didn't do us any favors this weekend making our decision any easier today. They were just absolutely bopping and rolling in Seattle, over the weekend there. So
Quality of pitching, sir.
Sure, certainly comes into play, but again, regardless what the situation is, they saw the ball well, they hit well in what is not traditionally known as the hitter's park. And then, of course, you got Pineda, who is at Yankee Stadium taking on a KC team that is absolutely dreadful with the sticks. That part of it, obviously you got the good and the bad there with the bad venue for him going up against a good opponent. Pineda just faced the Royals not too long ago. He did all right, got himself the win and whatnot. But, again, these guys, even though they're not the greatest offense, they're not going to strike out a whole bunch. So you do have that in the case. Again, and if Austin Romine's not behind the plate, I'm not as interested as I probably would be.
He won't be.
Now you got Gerrit Cole, who's pretty interesting, takes on an Atlanta team that doesn't have Freddie Freeman. Yeah, sure, he can allow a couple steals. Ender Inciarte is the one that I'm most worried about. But I think Cole could be a pretty sneaky option here, even though he's in SunTrust Park. Again, we're trying to pick aside from people's differences and faults here today. So you got that. Michael Fulmer was an interesting guy that you talked about. While Houston, I believe they have the third lowest strikeout rate against right-handed pitching this season, they have shown some ability. That series against the Yankees, I believe, a lot of their starters had a couple strikeouts, with the exception of the Sunday night game, of course.
But not only that, but the Astros have the second lowest strikeout percentage versus their handedness on the night.
Okay.
So the only one that's better is the Pirates against righties and Mike Foltynewicz tonight. The one I'm interested in, and I know it's a small sample size, so we have to be careful with this, the way it's going. And I believe he's come out of the he's been pitching a lot of bullpen. The one I'm interested in maybe is Brad Peacock, depending on exactly what the lineup is that the Tigers roll out.
All right.
He grades out pretty well. He's got the lowest hard contact percentage of the night. He's got the highest soft contact percentage of the night. His line drive percentage is one of the best. The only thing that worries me is the fact that his walk percentage is kind of up there. Now the reason why we talk about percentages instead of, like K per nine, walk per nine, is because when you get into guys that, are doing spot starts or guys that, obviously have not pitched a lot, the K per nine and the walk per nine, that can actually skew the viewpoint of it. I would rather go by percentage of batters facing. And he's got the second highest on the slate as far as K per nine percentage. Now, it's a little different coming out of the bullpen where you can kind of just go, balls to the wall.
Right.
But the only one that's higher is Jeff Hoffman. Both of those, but see, the problem that I'm having with these guys is neither one of them has thrown over 20 innings in the majors this year.
Well, Hoffman, I'll give him a pass since he's only had two appearances, but Peacock has just been a straight bullpen dude so far.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that. But you know what are we expecting out of Brad Peacock? Is this something that the Astros have just determined that's going to be a bullpen game, or is it something that you know they are looking to kind of put in? And or is it just a spot start where they're like, okay, 4 or 5 innings, it would be a positive? Or are they looking to make him a starter and we need to pay? And he's not in play today, but it has an effect on what you view as far as Tiger bats.
Yes, sir. And you got to keep in mind, Houston does have one of the best bullpens in the league.
And that's what I'm saying. If this is going to be like a go out and give me 4 innings and we're going to yank you at like 75 pitches – because we've got to build up your arm strength, then we've got to pay attention to how he throws to know whether or not we can attack him next time. I'm off of the Tigers as of right now with the projected lineup. But I do have interest in watching these guys to see if it's something that we definitely need to pay attention to going forward.
All right. Now the two pitchers in the matchup that both of our teams are in tonight, they're with Jared Eichhoff and Jeff Hoffman. Well, of course, we'll start with the Phillies pitcher because why not? He's actually
he's the host of the show.
He's run into a little bit of trouble here lately, but you got to take a look at the opponents that he's gone against. In his last 4 starts, he has gone against, he's gone against the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Mariners, the Rangers. If you look at his first 4 starts, he had a much better profile out there. He had a very good night against the Mets when he faced them particularly. But, you know, Eichhoff's a guy that, dating back to the end of last season and the start of this season, had a string of 10 quality starts and 11 tries. He's typically done worse against left-handed hitters. And, you know, I know the Rockies roll a little more right-handers out there. So this could be a decent area.
We can get left-handed heavy.
I'm sure you could. Great. Good thing for you. The Rockies do have the 7th highest strikeout percentage against right-handed pitching. Again, this has more to do with price than, opportunity. But on a night where FanDuel especially has priced up a lot of these bats, I feel like Eichhoff can give you, probably 6, at best, probably 7 innings of quality ball.
And he's not going 7 tonight.
You could still get some good, bats in your lineup.
I'd say 6 is your max cap. He's not going 7 tonight.
We'll see.
And I'm not saying this from a fan perspective. I'm saying this because, one, we have the possibility of delays in Philly. The weather is...
Oh, I see it.
Not right great, but it's not bad either. I mean, I would say that the pitchers are out of play here, but the wind's blowing out. Not hard, but it is blowing out. You know, the temperature's right there going to be around 70 degrees. I would expect. Let me get this point in there. I'm hoping the Phillies are smart and they realize that this is a 4-game series. And so they obviously play the next 7 days, like including Monday. Both the Phillies and the Rockies play at least the next 7 days. They don't want to blow through their bullpen by having this game start and then there being a elongated delay. This game might. Depending on how the radar shows up, this game might end up starting in a delay because the greatest point for rain is right there around the start of the game. The humidity's high, obviously, there. So this, I see this being more of an offensive type of game rather than a defensive type or a – not a defensive type, but a kind of a bullpen game. Gotcha. Yeah, exactly, a pitcher's duel. Thank you for helping with that.
I was going to say here, too, what I'm looking at right now, you got 35% chance of drizzle at the start, And then it just goes completely down all the way until 9 o'clock where you got a 13% chance of rain. There's really no threat there. So, yeah, if anything, we're probably looking at a late start. But I don't think that this is going to, you know, and it, like we're going to have a delay in game or anything like that.
Yeah, and both of these bullpens are pretty well rested. They're not, you know, overtaxed or anything, but the last thing that these managers want to do is, you know, blow through their bullpen in game one of a four-game series.
Believe me, I think all the rain is coming down now. You know, just looking out the window, it's getting all out of its system right now, so that should be all right. Tell us a little bit about Jeff Hoffman, because he's also an interesting low-price pitching candidate tonight.
No, he's not.
Well, tell us about him. Some people might not think like us.
He is basically he was one of the main cogs in the Troy Tulowitzki trade.
Okay.
So he's a first round pick, and the reason why he hasn't been in the starting rotation is because guys like, you know, Kyle Freeland, you know, Antonio Senzatella, they've just absolutely just exceeded expectations, really, is the best way to put it. And that's just kind of why he hasn't been up there. They love this kid. They love the talent. They think that he's going to be a future top end of the rotation type of guy, but he just hasn't kind of, and he's still young. I mean, the Rockies have the youngest starting rotation in Major League Baseball right now. He has not kind of put it all together quite yet. He's got an above average fastball. He's got an above average curve. It's an elite fastball, an above average curve. And, you know, his changeup is still a work in progress. I think that this is a guy that we can kind of load up on with right-handed bats. I'm looking right now to kind of make sure here. I didn't even have this part pulled up, but in his career, we've got okay, so yeah, his fastball is a 65 out of 75. His curveball is a 55 out of 65. His future value is a 55, and his changeup's a 50 out of 55. So for those of you that don't know, if they're within 10 to 15 or 5 to 10, those are usually a plus pitches. But being a three-pitch mix as a starter, unless you can spot and keep hitters off balance, it's not very good. You usually kind of need to develop a second pitch. I'm looking here and no thanks, Fangraphs. Okay, yeah. Actually, we shouldn't have to really discriminate. He allows more power to the right-handed side of the plate, which is kind of odd, but he doesn't have enough. I mean, this guy's got 40 innings under his belt, so in the majors, so it's not really something that we can really hone in on, but right. I don't have any problem picking on him. I think this is a sneaky game stack if you're making multiple lineups, and I'll have exposure to both sides. The question I have is, I'm looking at the lineup here. Where did it go? There it is. Guys like Aaron Altherr, who are now priced up, are interesting to me, but him and Tommy Joseph is probably where I really, really, really have the most interest. Odubel Herrera has been absolutely horrible versus right-handed pitching this year.
Herrera has been horrible. What?
If you want to go a mini stack, if Galvis is in that two hole, then I could go there.
Hey, we're not talking about hitters right now. We'll get there. Steal material.
Well, it's more of a, I'm not afraid of Jeff Hoffman.
Gotcha.
Shutting these guys down.
Who's going to be a terrible Rocky pitcher? All right, let me give you three.
I think he can get some Ks, but I don't think – I think if we get five innings out of him, I think that if we get five innings and it's within one or two runs, then I think that we're in trouble if we have Philly hitters.
Yeah, the man is 5,700 on FanDuel. So, yeah, five innings we would be incredibly lucky to get. All right, let me give you the names of three streamers. Not particularly the greatest pitchers, but they do have good matchups. I want to see if any of these guys intrigue you. Mike Fultonavich going up against the Pirates at home. John Lackey at home against the Giants.
Yes.
And guess what? Another pitcher at home, Ubaldo Jimenez against the Minnesota Twins. So you said yes to Lackey. What about Fultonavich and Jimenez? We don't have to go too into them, but they are interesting cheap options.
Jimenez has actually been throwing the ball really well.
Yep.
I don't mind it, but it's more of a DraftKings or fantasy draft type play, in my opinion.
Yeah, like an SP2 sort
exactly.
of thing.
Okay. Folty has not looked good.
And then this is when he pops off with the like exactly. the nine strikeout performance he had against the Phillies.
I mean, if you look at it, well, I guess he has looked good better his last two starts. He's not going deep into games. He's getting you six innings. Well, I guess that not looked good was on Cinco de Mayo when I had a lot of Folty and he laid an egg versus the Cardinals. Quality starts in five out of the last six. 7,400 is a little more than I'd want to pay for him on FanDuel. I think I would rather probably go to JC Ramirez at 72.
Okay.
Or Baldo at 66. But so he's kind of in that no man's land for me.
Speaking of pitchers against the Pirates, how about Aaron Nola yesterday? He back.
I did not watch a lot of baseball because of what happened on Friday and me trying to get the rest of the house kind of fixed up.
Gotcha.
So for those of you that don't know, we had the storms from the beginning of the storm season kind of starting to come through, and it was not fun on Friday or Thursday. So I think Thursday kind of started it, Friday kind of capped it off, and we spent the weekend kind of fixing everything back up.
All right. And we're glad to have you back. Very nice. Very nice. All right. Let us talk about some catchers here today. Some decent options. And again, as I mentioned, a lot of these bats are going to be pretty priced up on FanDuel today. So we got to kind of, you know, make a decision on what we're going to do here. So first off, let's start with these catchers. Who do you like in here?
I think Salvador Perez. If I'm not going with Pineda.
Uh-huh.
I really kind of like Salvador Perez. I like the matchup he's in. He's hit right-handers a little bit better this year than in his career. He's got a 327 ISO with a 417 WOBA versus right-handed pitching this season. And he's cheaper. He's down to $3,100 on FanDuel. That's probably the high cap of where I would go. Now, obviously, you could go Buster Posey against John Lackey. That's always a good spot. You know, Gary Sanchez, he has shown no power versus right-handed pitching this year. He's got a 0.00 ISO. Now, that won't last, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. That will not last. But it's something to kind of, you know, take note in because his ownership percentage, especially now on a 9-game slate, is going to be higher than normal. I really like Tony Walters tonight.
Okay.
He's 2,400. He's going to hit at the bottom of that lineup, but he just hits. Like, that's all he's really done. Now, it might be singles and you're going to need some runs scored or, you know, maybe a double and an RBI in there, but, you know, that's all he's done all year is kind of hit. So,
Hey, Keith, that's okay. We've seen plenty of catches this year from the 8 and the 9 hole, bopping left and right. So, all good. And again, left-handers against Jared Eichhoff are the way to go, if you're going to go that way. I just want to touch on some things that you talked about. Gary Sanchez, I love him a lot tonight. Now, Jason Vargas, tonight's Royals pitcher. I should probably bring this up more in when we talk about the stacks tonight, but you know, I can't even wait. This one's good. So, his last five starts, he's allowed a 2.5-to-1 fly ball to ground ball ratio. So that kind of thing is not going to work well in Yankee Stadium. If you take a look at his numbers, like the amount of fly ball, I mean, yeah, 2.5-to-1 over the last five starts, duh, you can tell. But just looking at it on a game by game basis,
didn't
kind
the Yankees
freaky.
Just absolutely light him up the other day?
They did.
Okay, I wanted to make sure that he. I couldn't remember if that was the back end or front end of the series. We got some significant BVP at the catcher position today, too.
Okay. And before we get to that, I just wanted to mention, too, with Sal Perez in the doubleheader yesterday, he hit 3 home runs. But you got to wonder since – I mean, I think he DH'd the second game, but you got to wonder if he plays tonight on the back end of a back-to-back. Luckily, that is the first game to go off tonight, so we'll
know. He will.
You better. Yeah, the BVP is good there.
Yeah, he's got some BVP against Pineda. So do a couple of these other Royals. Tony Walters is 4-for-5 against your boy with a home run and a triple.
Oh my.
Let's see here. Nick Hundley has got some BVP. Carlos Santana has got some BVP. Derek Norris has got some BVP. Well, Derek Norris is just 1-for-1 with the dong, so never mind. But yeah, there's some options at catcher, and none of them have to worry about Gary Sanchez. So even though Buster Posey and Gary Sanchez
are the use that he uses at hotels on the road.
Yeah, are both good good options. I'm probably not going to go there.
Okay. Don't forget about Wellington Castillo. He's come right off the DL, just absolutely mashing lately, so he's a good option too. And then, by the way, I was very impressed. Chris Iannetta homering yesterday. I believe that was his first game from coming back after getting hit in the face, so props to him for that one. And then I don't know if he's going to start today, but maybe the Diamondbacks throw Chris Herman at Miguel Gonzalez, stick him in the outfield or something like that, since A.J. Pollock's not in. So I think that's a fantastic way to go there, too. Miguel Gonzalez is absolutely freaking terrible. So
yeah, he has been.
And it sucks because I like it. I think he's a good pitcher.
Well, he was great there for a couple starts. You know, the beginning of the season, and then all of a sudden, I don't know what he did, but he's just decided that he was going to, you know, stop being the guy that he was. Three of the first four starts were really, really good, above 40 FanDuel points each of those, or three of those four. And then the last four, he's only been in double digits once. So, still pitching semi-quasi deep into games, but he's allowing a lot of the earned runs, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's allowing a lot of hits. So, yeah, like you said, whichever catcher is there in Arizona tonight is in a really good spot the way that Gonzalez has been pitching.
Indeed. All right. I believe that does it. I didn't have anybody. Wilson Contreras. I've gotten there too against Ty Black. The guy just doesn't strike anybody out. So, with the wind blowing out 15 miles an hour to center field tonight, that could be a good spot for him.
Yeah, and don't lose sight of a guy like Yan Gomes, or you know, Jason Castro. These guys that aren't going to get a lot of public run because they're guys that have power and have pop and can be they're not well, I mean Yan Gomes is 2800, but and so is Jason Castro, but they're not going to be talked about a lot, so they're going to be a good low ownership type of one-off play that you know, could end up producing pretty well for you.
Yeah, Yan Gomes has actually hit very well here over the last couple of games. But one thing I've noticed about him, I guess it's got something to do with the pitchers that he's going against. I didn't look into it too much, but
it's not like Scott Feldman's great.
No. It's, you know, whether it's like handedness of pitcher or whatever the case is, but he's played two games and then sat like 3 days, and then he's played two games and sat 3 days. So he has played the last two games. I don't know if that's going to come into play today, but again, that game's early enough where you'll know if he's in or not.
Yeah. The only lineups that we should like could be in question are going to be, really any of them.
Maybe the Diamondbacks, but that's it. White Sox.
Yeah. I mean, everything else should be pretty much in play.
And you got to love that late swap. All right. First baseman, what do we got here?
Well, you can start it off at the top with Paul Goldschmidt and Joey Votto. First base is, like, I've got 9 first basemen wrote down today. So there's enough to cover each game, although I think I'm doubling up on both of them. Eric Hosmer's got some BVP against Michael Pineda. I don't mind that with if you want to go a one-off, he's 5-for-18 with a home run off of him. So I don't mind that, but that would be like a tournament type, one-off play. I'm finding it very hard to get out of my top five with Rizzo, Belt, Reynolds, Santana, Goldschmidt, and Votto. Top six, sorry. I'm finding it very, very hard to get out of that. And then the second tier would be Chris Davis and Edwin Encarnacion. Okay. So, they're not cheap.
No. That was one of the things I was going to say. None of these first base, well, for FanDuel anyway, none of these first basemen are, let's just say, affordable. You're going to have to make some sacrifices elsewhere in your lineup. But I really like Chris Davis the most here. Again, going up against Kyle Gibson here. Gibson's just been absolutely terrible, as I have in the game notes for today. Those numbers that Gibson has, they are no aberration. He is really that bad, my friends. So, and I'm kind of seeing this too with a lot of the Orioles, where they're just incredibly priced up, where you're kind of like, really? Okay, well, that's how we're going today. But yeah, Davis at 3,900. I think a lot of people are going to try to get, probably try to get cheaper there, since there are a lot of options that you can go with today. But, Davis, he went on that tear last week. It kind of carried over into this week as well. But yeah, he's a guy that I'm very interested in going up against Kyle Gibson today.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's got a 271 ISO versus, left-handed pitching this season. It's going to be left on left, and not a lot of people are going to do it. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's going to be against right-handed pitching. I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong column.
Toronto did a good job. He only had one hit over the weekend. Again, that's a divisional matchup. They know him pretty well. So, maybe a lot of people trying to kind of stray away from that, but you got to look at what he did prior to that. It's going to be, I just think it's going to be a low-owned kind of play, and this should work out pretty well.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Right. There are some decent, cheaper options there at first base. Jose Abreu, I think, is a guy going up against Zach Greinke. He could be very low owned, and that'll be interesting. But Kenny's Vargas and then Tommy Joseph, two guys that we mentioned earlier.
I don't mind Tommy Joseph. Kenny's Vargas isn't really on my radar right now.
All right.
Not that it's a bad play, it's just there's so many others that I like better.
Okay.
That it's kind of just not crossing my radar. It could later on in the day, considering, obviously things are going to change, depending on what the lineup they put out. But if he finds himself in that four hole, with good on base guys in front of him, then I don't mind it.
All right. Anybody else here thinking about?
I mean, Mark Reynolds, we have to continue to say that he is one of the hottest hitters in baseball. And it's another good play. He had another good weekend, and you just got to continue to – he's not going to hit like this all season, I don't think, because the numbers he's putting up is pretty much where he's fighting for not only a batting title, but he's basically fighting. He's putting up triple crown type numbers, but they're consistent across the board. I mean, I don't think that it's going to happen all season, but I'm going to continue to ride it because he's always low owned.
Sorry, I had to mute that. I had a massive, massive sneeze that had to get out there.
There you go.
All right, let's talk about second baseman in this one. I want to start it off here in the Giants-Cubs game because I feel you can go – there are three options that you can use from this game, and they're all incredibly cheap, and that's what we're looking for. So we could fit some of those good first basemen and other plays in there. But that combination of Javi Baez and Ian Happ from the Cubs is going to be great. Again, they're probably going to be highly owned, but so what? Ty Black, again, he just doesn't strike anybody out. So I'll take that chance with these Cubs bats. Javi Baez is going to have the platoon advantage. Happ, he's a switch hitter, so he'll be there as well. But, I'm certainly liking both of the Cubs there for that one.
Yeah, I don't mind that. That's one of those that is kind of – I mean, I – Javi Baez is just, he hits for power, but let's put it this way. I like Javi Baez better on FanDuel than I do on DraftKings. Cool. He's 4K on DraftKings, so.
Oh my.
It's a little out of my comfort zone when it comes 2,800
there on FanDuel.
Yeah.
A lot different.
I don't mind DJ LeMahieu. He had a great weekend.
Sure did.
Starting to hit the ball like we know he can. He's more of a cash game type play because he's not going to give you a ton of power, but he is there. Brandon Drury against Miguel Gonzalez is another good one. I don't mind Starlin Castro, but he is so damn expensive right now. A guy that I think is going to get a lot of, I don't want to say love, but a lot of traction throughout the day is probably going to be Jose Altuve. And it's not a bad play, but right now I have two guys that are at least $500 cheaper ranked ahead of him in Jonathan Scope and Brandon Drury. And both of those guys can give you everything that Jose Altuve can give you, except for maybe the stolen bases. At a far cheaper price. So, but we've got to remember that Jose Altuve is not stealing a lot of bases now that he's in the three hole.
Gotcha. All right, so Jonathan Scope up against Kyle Gibson. That'll be a common theme today, picking on Kyle Gibson. So I like him a lot. They actually had him at leadoff. I believe that was yesterday.
I didn't look.
Yeah, yesterday they had him at leadoff.
I always liked him because even though if he's in that six hole, he's lower owned. So him batting leadoff, it adds more value to it, but I don't know if I would want him there.
No, it's fine. I think they gave Seth Smith the day off yesterday, I believe. So that was just a one-off kind of thing. But and I mentioned here, too, in that Giants-Cubs game, I only mentioned the Cubs side of things, but Joe Panik is very cheap. They're on FanDuel at second base. So I don't know where he's going to be in the order tonight. He usually flip-flops between either second or like seventh or eighth. But either way, he's going to be pretty cheap. And against John Lackey, he's not a terrible idea.
What's your thoughts on our boy Jason Kipnis?
I like him. You know, going up against Feldman, getting the park upgrade, going to Great American Ballpark. So that certainly helps.
Yeah, I mean, we saw what good offenses can do in that ballpark over the weekend. The weather's starting to warm up there in Cincy a little bit, and he's been hitting a lot better since he's been moved in that leadoff spot. The numbers don't look great for the season, but understand if you take his numbers over the last, 7 to 10 games, more 7 games, because I think they only started doing that the end of last week. They've looked a lot better, so I really do kind of like that.
All right, one more guy too, Cesar Hernandez at home this season. Clearly been the best Phillies player. He's hitting .349 at CBP this year. Also, he's got an OBP of .478 there this season. Also has 16 runs in 16 games there. So
yeah, that's impressive.
That's heavy. That's heavy, bro.
Heavy.
All right, we'll start with the third baseman. I think we got two studs there at the top: Chris Bryant, Jake Lamb. I'm sure those are going to be two of your top guys on the list, but who you like more in that situation?
Flip a coin. Right now, currently, I have Chris Bryant ranked way ahead of Jake Lamb, but those are my top two. If you've got 4,400, yeah, go to Chris Bryant. If you got only 4,300, go to Jake Lamb. Now, here's where it gets a little bit funny. If I told you that Jake Lamb was $500 more on DraftKings than Chris Bryant, would Very you believe me?
I could with the way that he's swinging the sticks.
Yeah.
I think that definitely speaks to the level that Jake Lamb is at right now. Actually, it was funny. Last week, the Mets were playing the Diamondbacks. They had a day game. So one of the Michael Kay show, which I listen to all the time here, his co-host Dom LaGreca was on there, and he had, like, Jake Lamb got some East Coast coverage because the guy says, he's like, nobody really knows about this Jake Lamb guy, but if I had, if I needed a hit to win the game right now in the majors, Jake Lamb would be that guy that I would put there up at the plate. And everyone was like, who the hell is Jake Lamb? Blah, blah, blah. And, well, you know, us baseball
I love Jake. I now, love but, Jake Lamb, but I don't know if I'd go that far.
Well, this guy, he watches a lot of baseball.
No, I understand. And I.
As do we.
Exactly. I love Jake Lamb. But if you're talking, give me one hit to win the World Series in Game 7, and you're talking Jake Lamb at the plate?
Sure. It's awkward.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go there.
Anywho, the point in case being, Jake Lamb got some East Coast love, which I don't think he's ever gotten his entire career.
Yeah, he's third base is loaded in the National League. You know, you've got Nolan, you've got Bryant, who I don't think is a, true traditional third baseman because he plays the outfield as well. On any other team, he'd be parked there at third base. But the fact that Joe Maddon has the ability to kind of move these guys all over the field, it does add to his quote-unquote value but on the team. But as far as looking at, who's the best third baseman in baseball, it's Chris Bryant isn't there. Because he's not just a third baseman. He might be one of the best players, but not a third baseman. I think the best two are Manny Machado and Nolan Arenado. So
you got no argument from there.
But you do have Eugenio Suarez going against Josh Tomlin, who's been a dumpster fire lately. I think he's a good play. Mike Moustakas has got some pretty good BVP against Michael Pineda. You got Miguel Sano against Ubaldo. Josh Harrison's been in that leadoff spot and been producing.
He made the list.
David Freese is, back, and he's, still under 3,000 there. Third base is absolutely just completely loaded tonight.
Hey, you talked about perhaps right-handers up against Jeff Hoffman, so Mikel Franco.
Mikel Franco, exactly. I think he's a good play. He hasn't shown a lot of power versus righties this year, but we know that he's got it. So I don't mind going there just because the right on right's gonna cause his ownership to drop a little bit.
I'm sure you remember, but when we were doing the podcast last year, I believe he started hitting lefties at an elite clip the day that I mentioned he's much better against right-handed hitters than he is against left-handed hitters. That day, he started becoming a great left-handed hitter. But, yeah, Franco, to start his career, was very good against righties.
Yeah, so it's not like he's forgotten how to, but sometimes with these younger players, they focus so much on getting better on their weaknesses that what they're good at already starts to lack a little bit, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's only a matter of time before we start to kind of see this even out, where he starts to hit, right-handed pitching a little bit better again. And I'm willing to jump on before, he starts to show a vast improvement.
Sure. One other guy, if you want to get real crazy, low ownership, Todd Frazier, against Zach Greinke tonight. Frazier, I think he's just got an issue with getting around on really fast pitching with Greinke, again, when he can time up the pitching. I've noticed this with him. He's just better against, guys that kind of lofted in.
I don't know if I really like picking on Zach Greinke tonight.
It's a GPP play. That's the mindset here.
I think there's better spots. Okay. I could see it, but I just think if Frazier was like first base eligible, well, not even that. If Frazier was like,
hey, it's the last guy.
I can't do it.
It's the last third baseman we're talking about.
I can't.
I'm not going with it, though. I'm just saying, look out for it tonight.
I can't do it.
Fair enough. Well played. All right. Let's get to shortstops here. And we got a couple good ones here. I just want to lead it off here by Brandon Crawford, very cheap. I think if you're trying to fit in a lot of those high-priced first basemen, if you want to get a Chris Bryant or a Jake Lamb in your lineup tonight, I believe Brandon Crawford's under 3,000.
29.
Yeah, right there on FanDuel tonight. So I think he could be a nice fit right there for the shortstop position.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Didi Gregorius is right there in that same price range. Freddie Galvis is also right there in that same price range.
And remember with Didi Gregorius, 320 against lefties last season.
Yep. We've got – I'm trying to look just in that price range there. Those are the only – I mean, Jorge Polanco, who's been a sneaky play for the Army all season. But I think this is a day where I want to pay up at shortstop. I don't know what the Rockies are going to do at shortstop today. I'm trying to figure out why they don't have a shortstop listed. It's because the lineup they pulled in that we pulled in doesn't have one listed. Probably because they just I don't know why. Because they're saying that Ian Desmond's going to play shortstop, which that won't happen. I guess it could, but I don't see it happening. So
no, I was going to say. Their hottest hitter over the last couple games has been Alexei Amarista, who is 6-for-15 with some ridiculous numbers here. What's he got? 6-for-15.
Little ninja.
A homer and 6 RBIs over the last 4 games. I believe 2,600 there on FanDuel. So
yeah, he's in that lineup, then go right on the head. Trevor Story is out on a rehab assignment. Pat Valaika has kind of cooled off a little bit. I could definitely see Little Ninja getting in there, and he's going to get overlooked. I promise you.
Very interesting. I popped this off. Zach Cozart has been
phenomenal.
Here over the 4th best batting average in MLB, and he does have a sore wrist that he's dealing with. He was scheduled to sit out yesterday. I guess he did. I didn't really follow that game too closely, but just looking at the player bubble here, it was a planned day of rest for him, but he's still dealing with a sore left wrist. So that scares me a bit. I might have to drop him down a couple pegs in the Walsh's wingmen today, but very, very tough to argue with what he's been doing. You just look at that game log. You don't see many zeros or small numbers. It's all good right now for Zach Cozart.
Yeah, it is. So,
oh, it's all good, baby.
It's all good in the neighborhood.
It's all good, baby. Let's see what else we got here. We got both options there from the Diamondbacks. Hey, big surprise, picking on Miguel Gonzalez, Chris Owings, Nick Ahmed, the MLB's most lethal player. He both of those guys are going to be pretty good options there at shortstop for the Diamondbacks. You mentioned Freddie Galvis earlier, and I said, hey, quit giving away the names for the bats today. But, again, I like him a lot more if he's batting second. We're going to have to see what happens there. But, yeah, Galvis is a guy. He just rakes, man. When J.P. Crawford comes up to the bigs at some point this season, they got to do something with Freddie because I don't want that bat to go.
I see some of your younger major league talent that's already there getting moved. Because you guys are deep at positions, like certain positions.
Middle infield.
Yeah, I see some of that getting moved either to the outfield or to different teams.
Freddy, and, don't go, no!
And it's, well,
no, Freddy, to be, wanted me, I'd be okay.
To be honest, you guys should be getting rid of, I don't know who would want him, but Adubel Herrera, so.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that at all.
I don't think a lot of Phillies fans would. But you got to find a team that would take him. And that I think that bat flip, oh my gosh. If I was on the mound and he bat flipped a routine fly out to the warning track, he would be getting a ball between the dotted between the numbers the next time.
That's so Odubel, though.
That's so Bush League, though.
It's fine. I'm okay with it.
Of course
sure.
You are. So, you have nothing else to cheer for.
No, I mean, I'm okay with him going.
Okay.
Yeah, it's so doable, man. Come on.
There you go.
Can't
forget to mention Addison Russell.
Okay. Going to be very popular tonight.
Well, yeah, the Cubs always are popular, but his last four games have been pretty good, so.
Sure. All right, outfield, let's talk about it. I think the top spot in my wingman today gonna shock some people. I mean, it shouldn't because he's the best player in baseball, but Mike Trout at Tampa Bay going up against Jake Odorizzi. Finally, one of my cover men didn't screw me. I had him on the cover for yesterday's article going up against the Mets. Boy, did he go off. But what's interesting here, Jake Odorizzi has actually been – much worse against right-handed pitching. Now, he has it like lefties have done better against him this season, so I do expect things to kind of come back to normalcy here. And again, it's tough. I have it written down in my notes today. I don't know when Mike Trout is ever an under the radar play, but it's not like he's in the most sexy spot, you know, in Tampa Bay against a right-handed pitcher, you know, who's been serviceable, but. I like Trout a lot tonight, especially the best Trout is when really nobody's on that Trout.
Yeah, if he's going to be low owned, I don't mind paying $5,200 for him. Unfortunately, on FanDuel, I have no problem fading him if he's going to be popular either, just because the price is so prohibitive today. Now, on DraftKings, he's not as nearly, you know, detrimental because, you know, there's a ton of guys priced around his spot. You know, you've got JD Martinez, who's $300 cheaper. You got Aaron Judge, who's at 5K. You've got Blackman at 54. I mean, you're too high, but on FanDuel where he's 52, I can go to Blackman at 44.
There are plenty of options around his price.
And be just as fine. I mean, you're talking about a $700 difference between Mike Trout and Aaron Judge on FanDuel. Yep. Like, I don't feel like if he's going to be low owned, and the thought that I have currently is what the industry is going to start thinking throughout the day, and he's going to be, and understand this, when I say Mike Trout being low owned, I mean around 15% to 20%. But if he's going to be 30-35% owned, I think I'm out on FanDuel.
Well, here's the reason that he's going to be low owned today, right? Because next on my list there, we got the Yankees, pretty much anybody in the Yankees outfield against the Royals today. And Aaron Judge, who a lot of people – I have a feeling he's probably going to be the most popular play of the day going up against Vargas.
I'll probably fade him too then.
Matt Holliday, Aaron Hicks, all these guys, anybody from the right-hand side against Vargas, against Yankee Stadium. Remember, I brought up that fly ball to ground ball ratio, that 2.5 to 1 over his last five starts. Yeah, it's just not going to go well in Yankee Stadium tonight. But, I mean, look, we have seen Vargas pitch well this season at times, right? And he did just face these Yankees his last time out, and he got beat over the head. Haven't we seen a lot of the opposite happen when we've seen two matchups in the same week?
That's kind of what I'm counting on.
Okay. I'm just saying it could happen.
I'm kind of counting on the Jason Vargas of earlier this season to kind of show back up. Mm-hmm. And for, you know, the last game to kind of be like an aberration. I mean, this is a guy that we're still talking about. Six of his eight starts have been quality starts. He's had at least five strikeouts in all but three of those starts. And his walk rate is down. this season overall. He's got more than, or he's only got three walks or more once, and that was against the White Sox. I don't know if it was location or what it was against the Yankees the last time, but I don't expect this to be the same result, and I think a lot of people are going to jump right back on it. So a great GPP move is where if we think that a lot of these guys are going to jump on the Yankees, obviously we've seen Jason Vargas shut down some pretty good offenses with Cleveland and Houston. I don't mind going back to the well with Jason Vargas and saying, you know what, I'm going to play the game theory. I'm going to play the fact that, you know, he did just see these guys. He's probably learned. He's going to make adjustments, and then he's going to force the Yankees to make adjustments too. And everything about it says, you know, screams that it should have been the other way around, where he should have dominated in KC and get lit up tonight. And that's just not the way baseball works.
No, definitely not.
Especially this season.
No. I'm not going to, like, completely fade the Yankees. I'm going to have some exposure, but I think it's going to be like an Aaron Hicks or a Matt Holliday. One of the lower owned plays there.
I think if you're playing Yankees, you want somebody that has power to the opposite field. You know, like a Matt Holliday, like an Aaron Judge. You know, I don't know how much, you know, oppo power Aaron Hicks has.
I believe zero.
But, you know, you want somebody that could take advantage of the outside, the low and away outside fastball like a Matt Holliday, and drive that ball, you know, with some authority to the other side of the ballpark. I like both of those guys, but it's not something like I feel like I have to do on a slate like today where, you know, you've got Philly in play, you've got Cincy in play, you've got Chase in play. Very, very, very. I'm almost talking my. And you've got Baltimore in play. I'm almost talking myself into fading Yankees and just beating people with everything else and letting people chase this. And I might end up talking myself throughout the day and playing some Jason Vargas.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so, and, you know, the Yankees have been striking out a good amount here over the last couple games, so keep that in mind. I hope everybody's been hearing me scream, but Adam Frazier, I mean, they finally raised his price on FanDuel now at $3,300, which I don't think that makes him playable, but I hope everybody heard me over the last couple. Six straight multi-hit games for this guy. Fulton Avich has really struggled against left-handed pitching. He's probably going to be leading off today in SunTrust Park. Indeed. So he might have some homer upside. I mean, he's only hit one this season, but for Christ's sakes, the guy's batting .369 right now. Six straight multi-hit games will do that for your average. But, yeah, he's got some stolen base upside as well. I mean, this guy has just been absolutely raking, so keep him in mind. Again, Aaron Altherr, I mentioned that Cesar Hernandez had very good numbers for the Phillies at home. Well, he's not the only one. Altherr did cool off on that recent road trip. And, again, he's still $3,800, which is a price that I think a lot of people are willing to pass on. But this season at home, he's got a 1.435 OPS with six homers and 14 RBIs in 13 games there. Keep that in mind, folks. Those are outstanding numbers. And again, remember, Keith was telling you that Hoffman's bugaboo was right-handed bats, so this could be a nice way to go.
No, his bugaboo's been bats, period. But more of a bugaboo against righties.
Well, that's not good for Hoffman, but okay.
Well, you gotta understand, he doesn't even have 40 innings pitched in the majors yet. I mean, he's a former first-round draft pick of the Blue Jays farm system. I mean, he was, like, Troy Tulowitzki would not have gone to Toronto if Jeff Hoffman was not included in that deal. We did not. The only reason we took Jose Reyes in that deal was because we had to try to make the salaries work a little bit.
Sure.
You know.
By the way, Jose Reyes got his 2,000th hit over the weekend.
Yeah, well, he can go jump on
birds.
We're paying that guy to play against us.
And then he also went bananas on Saturday after I had him on Friday. So, yeah, he can go blow it out his ass. Any other outfield? Oh, how about Corey Dickerson? One of the hottest hitters in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, Dickerson's been well, been going pretty good. I don't think you can discredit the Rockies outfielders at all. Charlie Blackmon.
Right.
Ian Desmond's in kind of a little bit of a funk, but Cargo's starting to come out of it a little bit more. He had a couple hits over the weekend, a couple good games over the weekend, and he had a dong yesterday. Now it was against Bronson Arroyo, but just to let everybody know that that wasn't just some normal home run. That was the first RBI and home run that he's had against Bronson Arroyo. But his last three games, 15.7, 15.4, 24.7, and he's under 3K on FanDuel.
Yes, yes, that's a pretty good matchup. What's going on with Parra? Is he just the odd man out right now? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. If Reynolds gets a day off and Desmond goes to first, Parra will play in the outfield. It's just we've got a lot of depth, and it's just
not a bad problem to have.
It's not a bad problem to have, but unfortunately, it just means that you get inconsistent at bats from guys like a Gerardo Parra, like a, when Mark Reynolds and Ian Desmond and, Cargo and, you know, Charlie Blackmon and, you know, Nolan, I mean, when they're all in the lineup like that, unless you've got a DH spot, which is what we had in, where
Minnesota.
Was it? Minnesota.
I know, very forgettable place.
Well, you know.
We have a lot of subscribers from there, but they get it. They live there. They know what's going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's just odd man out. From yes, this is the guy from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
Oh, man. Great, great, great. I love it. Hey, you know what? I'm a hockey fan, so I dig Minnesota. I have actually heard people say very nice things about it. I'm not
Colorado's
trying to
Colorado's a better
nice
spot for hockey.
I'd much rather live in Jersey than Minnesota, so.
Colorado's a better spot for hockey.
I don't think so.
I do.
People in Minnesota would probably rip your head off for saying that.
Probably. Minnesota,
did you know their? I saw a picture this year. Their high school championship, which I forget the name of the arena where the Wild play, but they had I believe it was 22,000 people there. And the capacity in the arena is like 18,000 something. They showed a picture of it. It was insane.
That's
insane.
Fantastic. When was the last time the Wild won the Stanley Cup?
We're talking about Minnesota high school hockey. We're not talking about that. And if you really want to be a dick about it, the North Stars were in the 91 Cup Finals. So.
Okay, yeah.
And 92.
Since then, the Avalanche have won 3 Stanley Cups.
But that has nothing to do with the state of Colorado hockey. It's not like all the players in the Avalanche are from Colorado.
It's not like all the players on the Wild are from Minnesota.
I can't believe hockey's even getting any love on this podcast. all right.
You know,
I played for 20 years, and it's still my fourth favorite sport. So.
Denver, DU won the NCAA hockey
that's
tournament.
A little like, different. At least some of those kids. I don't, you know, even in college hockey, some of these programs, they have like grown men from Canada on their team. But
oh yeah, absolutely. So
that's nice.
If we really want to get into hockey, Canada blows the United States out of the water. Like you can go to some little mini town in Canada, and their peewee team is going to beat any high school team in North America.
You know, that's probably not that bad of a stretch. I always say this. I hate Canadians because they took all the good hockey jobs here in America.
My grandmother's Canadian, so I have Canadian blood in me. But it's just
she's really good at hockey, she didn't take a job away from me.
She's not really good at hockey, but she loves hockey. It's just like going, like right now, to one of the little towns in. Well, we'll just say this: it was like 5 years ago going to Cuba. You take the Cuban national team, put them up against any of our major league teams, they would have drilled them out of the water. Unfortunately, you know, with the way that the political side has gone, Cuba national baseball is not the same anymore. But, yeah, you know.
Hey, we won the WBC. We run the world.
Yeah, right now we do for the next 4 years until Japan comes back and smokes our freaking
drops
butt.
The A-bomb on us. Hey, now. Historical reference. All right, let's cap it off with some stacks here. I mean, we've put out a couple more than enough good plays on today's slate, but what are we thinking about here for stacks?
I think each game has a stack in it that's viable. Now, the problem is, well, except for maybe that Kansas City-New York game. Could you see that being the lowest scoring game of the day? Look at every single, like, yeah. Just overall total score of the game. Not like, you know.
I hear you. I'm gonna say the Angels Rays could be the lowest scoring of the day. But
I mean, that's a real close second.
I could see it.
I wouldn't be surprised if either one of those games are low scoring, or if both of them are, really.
Well, you got to remember too, with the shutout that Jared Eichhoff's going to pitch. I mean, the zero from the Rockies is really going to bring down the total in that game.
Oh yeah. You obviously didn't pay attention to what happened in Cincy this weekend.
I didn't. That's Cincy. This is Philly.
It's still a bandbox.
This is Philly. Let's see here. Yeah,
I am predicting this. Your shutout, Jared Eichhoff's shutout, is going to be gone in the first 8 pitches of the game.
That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate that you feel that way. But let's see. Look, if we're talking about stacks tonight, Cubs, Diamondbacks are the first two that really come to mind.
Where's that wind blowing in Wrigley?
15 to center.
Out.
Yeah.
Whoo.
Mm-hmm.
Whoo.
Mm-hmm.
Whoo.
Yeah. And again,
we do have a threat of rain though there.
I was looking at all the weather for today.
We'll have to see what the weather guys say.
It doesn't look like anything is that threatening.
I was just talking about like for pitchers.
Well, I wasn't going to have one from that game anyway.
Well, I thought he might have been a decent SP2 option, but now I'm with the wind blowing out and everything. Now I'm rethinking that.
Cool.
That, but I mean, there's some viable stacks tonight. I don't think that, you know, other than, you know, Arizona, where you've got Greinke going up against the White Sox, and you know, maybe Pineda. I don't think there's anybody that I'm too worried about trying to avoid. It's just getting the right guys in the right spots. I'm not worried about. I mean, I would even attack Fulte with Pirates. I think that could be with the way that the wind's there and depending on the position or the lineup that they put out, if you've got like a mini stack of, let me look right here because I had it, Adam Frazier and Josh Bell.
Yep. Oh, Josh Bell's a guy we forgot to mention.
We didn't forget. He's just at a position where it's loaded. Very true. Or you could go Adam Frazier, Josh Harrison, Josh Bell.
Josh Bell in the ATL.
Throw in Kutch, who has looked horrible versus right-handed pitching, but I mean he's still there in that three spot. He still has in his career shown the ability to do it. He's just not going very well right now. I mean, I don't mind an Adam Frazier, Josh Bell, Skip Kutch, or Adam Frazier, Josh Harrison, Skip Kutch, and go Bell. On FanDuel. Now the problem is that you've got Josh Harrison, David Freese, who are both only third base eligible. Then you got Josh Bell and John Jaso, who are both only first base eligible. So really, honestly, you could only stack unless you go from the bottom up with Mercer, Cervelli, Jaso, Freese. Out of the top four or top five, you can only really you're gonna have to make a decision between Bell and Jaso and Freese and Harrison, and I think Bell and Harrison are the way to go. But I think that's what a lot of people are gonna think.
All right. Yes. I guess I don't know. All in all, I like the Diamondbacks thing, but you know, I really like the Yankees stack there, but, you know, we spoke some words on it. And now I think a little bit. But, yeah, of course, I believe they're going to be the highest owned of the day. So we will be talking
with everybody. If they're going to be the highest owned, I'm out on them. And I'm going with – I'll go to Baltimore. I'll go to the Cincinnati-Cleveland game. I'll go to the Rockies-Phillies game. I'll go to Arizona Diamondbacks. I'll go to the Chicago Cubs. I don't have to play Yankees tonight. And depending on how brave I get, Jason Vargas might be skyrocketing up my rankings.
All right. All right. Remember, again, if you're not joined up here with us at the DFS Army, you can do so by trying us out for 7 free days. Use the promo code WIN, and you get everything, the Slack chat channel, the Domination Station, all of our premium articles and tools that go on behind the scenes. You get a piece of that, folks. All you got to do, promo code WIN at DFSArmy.com. If you want to follow me and Keith on Twitter, you can do so. But before you do that, make sure you go ahead and follow the DFS Army on Twitter at DFS Army. We got to get those numbers up for the followers there. But you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at 14a.walsh. Keith, you can find him at Boomers DFS Daddy. Make sure you get both of us there. And start liking, retweeting, doing all that fancy stuff, trying to get the word out there even more before football season. So help us do so, and we'll help you make some money. That's a nice trade-off, right?
I would think so. I would have loved it if I would have had this when I was starting out. A place like this.
A place like this. All right, there's going to be no song to go along with it. But, again, yes, just, you know, give us that presence out there in social media. And, again, you will get the money back in return out of Keith's bank account, not mine. Okay, we are done for the day. Good luck on this Monday. We go.
Peace. Peace out.